So let's look at the market numbers. Let's just look at the market numbers. The S&P dropped 4.7%. It is at its lowest level since November of 1996, bringing its losses for the year, just for the year, to about 22%. I saw yesterday that at one point during the day, the Dow Jones Industrial Average from its peak and the S&P 500 from its peak in October, I believe, of 2007 has fallen 54%. We want to welcome to the program Michael Hunter. We're grateful to have him here. He's the markets reporter for the Financial Times. The numbers being at these levels, 1997, 1996 numbers, Michael Hunter, what does this mean particularly? Are we finding a bottom here, or is this just a wholesale abandonment of equities as an investment option?
I think that's exactly the question, John, and I think it's a lack of clarity about which of those two options we're really facing at the moment, which is adding to the fragile confidence, which is in itself part of the problem that we're looking at. It's that lack of clarity and that lack of a see-through, if you will, which is making the market sell-off all the more frightening this morning. We saw such big falls on the FTSE yesterday that we were able to enjoy a little bit of a bargain hunting bounce in early trade this morning. That's since been wiped out. Even some strong numbers in the banking sector from one of the UK banks focused on emerging Asian markets hasn't been able to steady the mood. And I think until we can see sentiment calming in the medium term and get a little bit of a clarity and a little bit of poise back, we could really go either way.
You know, the last time we spoke, there was a lot of movement in the market towards, you know, some sort of quality or a refuge, trying to find some sort of security. And the dollar was that for a time. And even U.S. equities were that for a time. But that seems to have gone away. I mean, you have a stock like General Electric, which is being viewed with the same sort of suspicion as Citigroup. It's trading down below, you know, nine at this point.
Absolutely. And even having Citigroup in that kind of category for a shock stock is in itself a shock when you bear in mind how recently you and I would have been talking about the flight to quality really involving a company of the size and scope of Citigroup. And that tells its own story and gives us a great insight into what's been going on the markets in the past few months. But there is a certain element of hope out there in some respects. And I think people are now beginning to try and look to the medium term a little bit more. I still think there's room for optimism in parts of President Barack Obama's vision of dealing with some of the problems with these toxic assets from the roots upwards rather than from the tops of the toxic debt trees downwards. There's still people trying to come to terms with the kind of time scale that might involve in terms of coming to more of a conclusion and more of a way in which we can pull out of this mess. And as that process continues and people start to look forward, we will in many ways, I suspect, start looking back to early March and late February of 2009 as perhaps the beginning of the end.
Michael, this is Farai today. I just want to ask you specifically about Japan. The Nikkei is just taking a beating. We just had on Philip Stevens from the Financial Times saying that he'd been in Japan. There's been a financial relationship, between the U.S. and Japan, particularly around the auto industry. What ripple effect will that have on the U.S.?
I think in terms of Japan, the strengthening of the yen status as a safe haven currency, a steady bet, is of course hurting their export industry, which is of course so significant there, and so interlinked with its trading relationship with the US and with the way in which it does business globally as well. And it is of course very much one of the problems which we face at the moment is trying to work out exactly after this shakedown has happened how damaged those kind of relationships will be and what the prospects for the speed of the recovery will be when the markets and the investors within the markets can start assessing exactly what's changed.
Well, you say it very well, Michael Hunter. It's a complete reset of the financial relationships of nations like the U.S. and Japan, a reset of the markets, a reset of the whole calculation of global value. Michael Hunter is markets reporter for the Financial Times. Thanks, Michael.